The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At producer T Scott. At degenerates 975. No AJ today. You can also text the show 713-780-3776. Or if you want to see Jon, go to the live stream. ESPN975.com. Just click on watch us on live stream. Todd's watching on live stream. He says it doesn't help the ratings, but what about the app? Does that count? App doesn't help towards ratings either. It's really only radio. No. But hey, however you listen, we're happy to have you, whether you're listening on 97.5, whether you're listening on 94.1, or whether you're listening on the app, or whether you're watching on the live stream, or, you know, you're listening to the podcast 7 hours from now. That's okay. We're happy to have you. We love that you listen. And Jon filling in today. A little sportsy there in the first hour, but that's to be expected. We'll have RJ Bell, as usual, at 5:30 today. And we're talking a little bit about this merger and what it means. And I did tell you that USA Today put what they want to see out of this in terms of movies. So I'm going to tell you what they say, and you say, okay, cool, or that's a horrible idea. I think we all agree with this. Start over with X-Men.
Yes.
Start from scratch here.
Yes, although I do really like James McAvoy as Professor X, and Michael Fassbender is a pretty good Magneto, but you're going to have to reboot the thing.
Yeah, I think you have to start over. So that's one. Fast track a new Fantastic Four movie.
That, if I were Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel Studios, that's the first thing I would do.
Because that's probably the one comic book that was extremely successful as a comic book, massive failures as movies.
Completely agree with you. And that's something that they can do to tie the Earth with the cosmic stuff they want to do.
Keep Deadpool's world separate.
Agreed.
I'm kind of with you on that. I think that needs to be separate.
Like, I feel like you can make, in the Deadpool movies, you can make references to, like, the MCU stuff.
Yeah.
But don't, in the MCU movies, you don't have to reference, you know, Wade Wilson.
Yeah. And X-Force and all that, I think, keep them on their own. Make Silver Surfer cool again.
Yeah, if you're going to make the Fantastic Four, the first thing you come out of it, Galactus and Silver Surfer will be your first big bad.
But, see, Silver Surfer was always my favorite of all the comic book heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually liked the fact that, well, it was Lawrence Fishburne in the first one. Even though every time he talked, all I could hear was Morpheus. I mean, it was basically Morpheus and Silver.
Yeah.
But I liked the fact that he was in that movie and I liked the way he did the character. I do want to see Silver Surfer not suck.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm kind of with him on that too. All right. Save the date for Avengers versus X-Men.
Yep. That'll be Secret Wars, which would probably be another 10 years from now.
Okay.
So that'll be the big culmination of the 20-year thing, I believe. Because you're going to have to build the X-Men and Fantastic Four universe, and they're going to probably take the next... Man, it's chilly in here. I'm shaking.
Yeah, welcome to our world. You're going to be freezing, and then you're going to go turn it off, and then 10 minutes from now, you're going to be like, God, it's so hot in here.
No, I'm gonna leave it. No, but they're going to build it up. They're basically going to take the next 10 years to build up the Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer, and then they're Fantastic Four and the X-Men, and they're going to go basically Avengers versus X-Men route.
Yeah, I'm okay with I mean, I know they're going to redo the X. Maybe it'll be better. I've never gotten into X-Men, and I don't know if it's just because the movies weren't great. But I like, again, I like the comic books growing up, but that was a long time ago. Philip says Jessica Alba in Fantastic Four was dead on. She was pretty hot.
Yeah, but she's, I feel like anything she's involved with in terms of movies, they bomb. Hmm. Except Sin City.
Yeah.
But she didn't have she was surrounded by a really, really big cast. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but even that wasn't.
And she wasn't even in that movie for that long, was
yeah,
she?
No. But she was the, I guess, in terms of the storyline, she was a big
was like
part
the
of the storyline. Yeah.
Of what, yeah.
Interesting. 713-780-ESPN, if you wish to get in on the listener line, the HR&P listener line. And Tyler gave me grief because I read my thing at the wrong time because I thought it said 454 and it said 554. So, Tyler, thank you for calling me an idiot. You just better you better not screw anything up the rest of the show, or you will never hear the end
about
of it.
That. I was like, maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, have
you shouldn't. Have, you shouldn't have done that. You've opened up that line of questioning. But no comment. This is kind of sporty, but my bookie has its Game of Thrones season 8 odds up yet up now for who's going to win, and wind up being the. It's going to be the ruler of Westeros.
I mean, Khaleesi has to be the odds-on favorite, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close, actually. I think there's some rumors leaking out about, you know, one of those two has to die out of Daenerys and Jon Snow.
Yeah, and I think Jon dies. I bet you he dies just giving himself up because that's who he is.
Yeah, although she's only plus 230 and he's plus 250.
Huh.
Here's one that I find very interesting. Bran, plus 400.
No.
Yeah, I would say draw a line through that. Here's my favorite. I will be putting money on him. The Night King, plus 650.
There is some value in the Night King, though.
I think there's value there.
There's value there. So I would, if anything, I would put a little bit of money on, maybe a little bit on Daenerys and a little more on the Night King.
Yeah, I'm all about the Night King. And, of course, my man Tyrion, plus 800.
Mm.
Even have my Tyrion shirt on today.
Not very comfortable with Tyrion.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with the Night King plus 650. I think he wins. I'm team Night King. I've been on record as saying that.
So other Stark on that list? Arya and Sansa?
Yeah, well, that's just the favorites.
Oh, okay.
So 713-780-ESPN. Let's squeeze on Steve real quick. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great. Happy Friday. What do you got?
Happy Friday to you, too.
What do you got?
Just calling to talk about the real H-Town Trump.
Yes?
Yeah, you're speaking to yours truly, your favorite president.
When did you start that Twitter account?
Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, I started about 2 months ago.
And it's, let's see, I'm pulling it up here. It's gained a lot of followers. You have 3,400 followers at the moment, and it seems like it's getting a lot of attention, especially from people in Houston.
We do very well in the polls. You guys have been very, very fair to me, but I can't say the same about your constituents up in Bristol. They're very unfair to me. They're inaccurate in their reporting, and those truth I don't watch, but that's probably why their ratings disaster. They don't treat Houston fairly at all.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I don't know. I think in terms of like the Astros stuff, I think even in Vegas, the notes RJ just sent us, the Astros are favorites again to win the World Series. So I think you just have to show a little bit of success before the national media kind of pays attention to you.
That's true. We've been working very hard with me and my good friend, Jim Crane, Jeff Luno, also my very good friend, working very hard. Bigly things are going to be happening at Minute Maid Park this year. We worked very hard finding that new catcher, trading for that new catcher yesterday. We were very excited about that as well. Promises made, promises kept.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Yep. There's some pretty funny stuff on this
I know.
Twitter page.
Yeah. It's picked up a lot since they started it, and I think I got in. I forget how I saw it, but I got in when they barely had any followers, and it's going strong.
And there's some fake news references. There's some sad.
Yeah.
Sad. Okay. Probably worth checking out.
Look, see, now it's a little hot in here.
I told you. See, this is welcome to our world. And you wonder why we sit there and complain about this. Like, oh, well, it's a long story. It's not a damn long story.
Now, the last time I walked in here, this light was orange. You changed it to pink.
Yeah, now it's pink. I don't know. I know they're constantly tweaking the lighting in here.
Is it because I'm too yellow that you had to change it out?
That's pretty racist there. We're going to just take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll tell you when we're going to give away the tickets to the party. We have two more to give away. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. No A.J. today. John filling in. Tyler filling in for John and just had his first major screw-up. This is not those shows where they beg for callers. You don't leave the callers on for 35 seconds or whatever that was.
Am I in the air?
You come on, you make your point. It's the Blitz. It's not one of these
John
other
kept
shows.
Asking them questions.
No.
My bad.
You, if I have to do the throat slash signal, then you have failed at your job, sir. That's strike number one. 713-780-ESPN. Man. You want to do sportsy or non-sportsy? We're going to have a lot of sports here with RJ.
We can do some non-sports here.
There's a couple news things we didn't talk about. Aaron Judge is going to be out 3 weeks for the Yankees.
And it's not going to affect anything. I don't think they're winning that division anyway.
I don't think so, although, one good hot streak, and if the Red Sox were to go backwards for a couple weeks.
But I feel like the Yankees are a team that will go up and down all season just because they don't have the starting pitching to kind of keep them stabilized. Because, if you're the Yankees, you run into a team that has good starting pitching, it's very hard for you to win. And I think they're like 11-11 against the Rays and the Orioles. So it's like, they're going to go up and down all season. They'll catch a hot streak, but then they'll come back down, go on a losing streak. So I think they'll finish with the best record outside the, they'll finish with the third best record in the American League. So the crazy thing is that if they win the wild card game, they'll have to face the Red Sox in the first round of the divisional series. So that the Astros will only have to go through the Yankees or the Red Sox. They won't have to beat both of them.
Well, if they catch the Red Sox and wind up with the best record, they might have to. Which isn't impossible.
Yeah, well, no, it would be the same scenario. The Red Sox then would have to play either the Mariners or... I guess they would have to play the Mariners in the first round. So to get into the ALDS.
No, I'm talking about if the Astros catch the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
The Astros would have to beat both the Yankees and the Red Sox.
The Astros would need to stay right where they are.
Yeah, this is one where second is better than first, I think.
Yes, you'll catch the Indians, which they're not a cakewalk, but... It's better than having to face both the Red Sox and the Yankees, I feel like.
Yeah, ideally, you don't want to have to face them both. But the reality is they faced them both last year and beat them both. And then the Dodgers. So I think if you're good enough, doesn't really matter. There's one other thing we had on Sports Map today. Patti Smith did her Houston Sports Authority Insider on this artist that just revealed his big Astros painting. Opie Otterstad's his name. I just posted a picture of it because she tweeted it. So I have She wrote about it this morning that it was going to be unveiled. It's very cool looking. It's like 25 feet tall or long, I guess. And so if you check out Patty's Twitter, there's a picture of him in front of it. And it's also on Sports Map if you want to see what it looks like. But it's pretty cool. All right, we're gonna do a little public service here. We're going to help our friends at the FBI.
Are we going to catch a bad?
We're going to help them catch a bad. FBI is looking for the hangover heister tied to two Houston bank robberies.
Uh-oh. Should we be scared and worried?
He is the three best friends that anyone's ever had. But apparently the Violent Crime Task Force hopes someone will recognize the suspect they're calling the hangover heister.
Can I find him on Twitter? Hangover. Okay.
Heister. Yeah, he's not. He looks like
Zach Galifianakis.
He does, right?
Oh, wow.
If you've seen, John will tweet the photo out, but yeah.
Or he looks like Bradley Cooper if he got fat, right? Because Bradley Cooper had that shades look with the beard and the hair.
I'm gonna go with he looks a lot like Alan. I mean, that's why they're doing this. But apparently he attempted two bank robberies not too far from here. One was at a Capital One bank, and second happened less than an hour later at Amegy Bank. According to the FBI, he went into the Capital One bank, handed the teller a threatening note demanding cash. The teller told the suspect that they would go retrieve the cash but never return to the counter. that's a pretty good trick. If I'm him, I'm not buying that, but okay. It's like, nope, don't leave, woman or man. But apparently they did. Then shortly after that, the same man approached the teller at the Amegy Bank and again handed the teller a threatening note which demanded cash. The suspect then fled in a blue early 2000s model SUV that investigators believe may be a Nissan Pathfinder or a Isuzu Rodeo. God, I had an Isuzu Rodeo once when the kids were small. What a waste of car that was. Yeah, don't expect me to be, hey, Fred Fowler for Isuzu here. Not happening. Suspect was last seen driving northbound on Augusta towards Woodway. No one was physically hurt during either robbery. Investigators believe the same suspect robbed the same Capital One bank in June 2017.
So went back to this first crime, huh?
Yeah. Back to the scene of the crime. Crime Stoppers of Houston is offering up to $5,000 for information leading to identity. He does look like a lot like Zach Galifianakis. Man.
I'm tweeting out a photo.
There you go. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Somebody says, what kind of odds is Lord Varys getting? He's got potential and little birds will kill anyone.
No, he doesn't seem like the guy that thirsts for the crown. He's more of the I will help you kind of person, like the right-hand man.
Or right-hand whatever.
Yeah, and I feel like he'll probably die.
Yeah, I kind of think he dies. I think the Red Witch will make a return and die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Cersei winning this thing.
No, she's going to die. She probably gets killed by Jaime or Arya posing as Jaime.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I would say Arya posing as Jaime.
Because she has this whole thing about the, is it the brother that kills her or something? Like I forgot what the
prophecy, which most of it's come through so far. Hey, here's what we're going to do. It's 5:24 and 50 seconds right now. 5:25.
Mm-hmm.
5:28. Okay. We're going to give away two more spots to the party. And here at Guy Media, we love to party. You know that. Don't call now. Wait till 5:28. That's why I'm giving people on the stream a chance. See, I love all the people. I care about all you guys. Since we've been having a great run and our stations keep growing because of you, our listeners, we wanted to throw you a party. Win an invitation for two to come to the Guy Media Listener Appreciation Party August 2nd. That's next Thursday here in our offices. It's one of those awesome all-inclusive parties where you show up and we do the rest. You'll have the opportunity to talk football, film with the bench, try to stump Charlie, pop a shot with the usual suspects, or play poker with the Blitz. Only way to get in, win an invitation. That simple. Listen every day to every show for your chance to, or come on out to one of our events because we're giving them away on site too. That simple. So at 5:28, we'll take caller 22.
And Michelle, a promotions director, came in here during the last break and commended our listeners for responding back to the RSVP or to RSVP to the party. So
yeah, that's
thank you guys.
And we appreciate that. And if you guys did win, that's really important that you RSVP. And Michelle's done a really good job of putting this thing together. I did what I do best. I come up with an idea and then I don't really do anything.
You delegate?
Yeah. It's like, hey, man, we should do a listener appreciation party for all our listeners for making us number one. Thank you, guys. And then poor Michelle has to do all the work.
And she was like, okay.
Oh, and the thing is, the best part was I sprung it on her like the weekend after Summerfest.
Which is
like her biggest thing that she does all summer.
Yeah, and then I think she was like, yeah, I'm going to be taking vacation for a little bit. And then bam, the Falcon hits her over the head with, oh, well, we should do a listener appreciation party and sometime in July. And then I think she, in the promo meeting, she was like, let's try to push this at least the first weekend or first week of August.
Yeah, well, but she's done a great job putting this together. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we really did want to do something for you guys to just say thank you. And so for those of you who've gotten in so far, looking forward to seeing you all next week. But that's why I do feel like I did my part by sorting through 300 emails for her and putting those in order.
Nice.
And doing that, so that I did do a little work on this, but yeah, everybody else is doing the real work. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. RJ Bell up next. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5. And Sports Map 94.1.
And it makes me wonder.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jong filling in. You know what that music means. Time for the gambling guru of the universe. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, founder of pregame.com, which is a completely badass website. RJ Bell, what's going on, RJ?
You know, last week, Fred, AJ was talking about you a good bit. I can't lie. I'm not going to judge that he was talking about you when you weren't there. But here's what I found most interesting. I came into the segment. I said, you know, we're not that far from football. It's July. Those guys are, you know, alternating days off. Let's do like a 12-minute segment, which is a normal segment in radio, right? So at the end, we ended up doing like 22 minutes, and AJ and Jong are like cackling, like, ha-ha, RJ thought he could get off early, but it never happens, and they just were laughing like maniacs. It was a little disconcerting.
Yeah, I was sitting out on my back. He's cackling now. I don't know what you did to him.
I'm not cackling.
I'm sitting out on the lake, sitting on the back porch, having a nice brew. Just enjoying the day, and I start getting all these people tweeting at me saying that you guys were roasting me. That's like,
well, hey, it's the best time when someone's not there. Come on.
Hey, as long as it was entertaining. I'm told, though, that you were taking odds on when I was going to die. Who said?
No, see, that was the thing, is AJ was saying, oh, you're a huge underdog to make it to 60. I'm like, what are you talking about? And, I mean, there's some strong feelings out there.
Interesting. I'd probably take the under just because what you're not accounting for is Houston traffic.
You do realize you can't collect if you take the under.
Well, I can't collect, no, but I'm saying someone else could. See,
you should be taking the over.
No, I'm hoping it's over, but I'm too fat, but I'm in pretty good physical shape. But I would just say if I'm still this way in 5 years, you probably looking at an under, and there's always a chance I get killed on the road, which is kind of a bonus. That's why the under makes a lot of sense here.
Now, when you say if you're still this way, what does that mean?
I'm still this fat. I'm too fat right now.
Dude, do you realize? I mean, again, unless you put on, I mean, what's it been, 9 months or something since I've seen you? Is if you haven't put on 30 pounds, I mean, I'm 47 years old. The idea that I am not going to live to like 80 seems absurd to me. is now obviously things can happen, but the idea that you're not going to make it to 60, I mean, unless there's something unless there's some meth pipe that you're holding right now no. that the audience doesn't see, I'm going over.
No, I like I said, I'm still running an awful lot. I'm working out every day. I'm just not losing any weight, but I have all but quit smoking, so that helps. So those are all things pointing to over. But I just have a feeling I'm going to die on the freeway before it matters. So you've been down here. These drivers are the worst in the planet, man. They make L.A. people look like they know what they're doing. So
you know, I got to be honest with you. We just moved off, or we're actually in the process of moving offices. And what I'm super excited about is we had the pregame.com offices, and then we had a video studio, which was about a half hour across town. So you know how it is. Okay, we got our one day a week to record videos. You want to do any one-offs? Well, if we got to drive a half hour, do it, then drive a half hour back, you're less inclined, right? So the new deal is we've got about 4,000 square feet, and we've got about 1,000 of it for the video recording and the radio, and then the rest are offices all in the same facility. So I'm super excited about that, but it is literally 6 minutes from my house, all back roads. So, like, to me,
that's even better.
It's just one of those things. It's one thing if you're driving 20, 25 minutes a day, I get it. But my best buddy was, coached at Houston way back with Dimmel, and I visited a few times, and he lived in League City, right?
Yeah.
And what was it, like 40 minutes to downtown?
It's about 30 if there's no traffic, but guess what? There's always traffic. Always.
Yeah, my wife lives down there. We're currently we're looking for a house. My wife lives down there, and so I spend the week with her, and we spend the weekend at my place. But on Mondays when we have meetings, it takes me a little over an hour. And where we're located, we're a little bit west of downtown, but it takes me about an hour and 10 minutes to get in from League City.
Wow, I mean, jeez.
Yeah, I'm 15 minutes away, but with traffic, that can be anywhere from 15 minutes to 45 minutes. It just depends on the day.
But here's the beauty of it. If there's any city to be in talk sports talk radio, right? Being in the cars helps.
Oh yeah, that's our whole thing. Is we know people are stuck out there in that crap, so we just try to entertain them for 3 hours. That's all you can do, because you know, you're going to it, there's always going to be a traffic jam somewhere, and not just in rush hour, but I mean, it's just how this place works, and nobody knows how to drive. They will kill you. I'm either going to die from getting crushed in my car by some idiot driver, or I'm going to die riding my bicycle around downtown and some car is going to run over me and I'm going to get splatted.
Yeah. And every major highway is under construction.
Yeah. Which adds to the idiots. So, hey, we're almost to football season. how excited are you that teams reporting to camp, and you starting to get that feeling that, hey, man, we're not that far away anymore?
You know, I'm getting that feeling I'm behind, right? It's like you're not really on a clock. You're not on a clock. You're not on a clock. You're behind, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, I do think there's a I don't even know if symbolism is the word. I do think when you do see, especially local teams, when you do see the Texans, for example, in camp, it's like, uh-oh, here we come. And obviously the Hall of Fame game is, something that's quite early, and it's not that far off. So, and it's worth saying, and I'll have a good bit of this on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, the preseason is probably the best time. If you told me, RJ, I want you got to make, what's the right number, 10 bets in any sport, in any portion of the season, what's the best chance of going 8-2? So, like, if you had to make a bet that you were going to have an outstanding 10-game run, where would it be? Now, this is going to sound, you know, kind of crazy, but, like, maybe WNBA would be first. Steve Fezzik, guy that works for us at pregame.com, last season he was, and again, one season can be whatever, but 17-5 in the WNBA. He has a clear winning year this year. So, you know, you can get nickels down, 500 a crack at different places. So the limits are lower. Market's not as sharp opportunity. I'm not sure that the second season for me wouldn't be the preseason. And a lot of people are thinking, because I would say you hear more of, well, you know, here's the proof positive that Vegas is insane. You can bet on preseason games. Right? So a lot of people are like flabbergasted that you can bet on them. But boy, oh boy, it's about coaching patterns. It's about bounce back motivation. I mean, you see it all the time, right? Is, let's say, you know, we all know, or NFL fans, the third preseason game is the most energized. It's the most like the regular season. You take a team that's 0-2 going into week three, and lo and behold, you've got a motivated team, because what they want to avoid, what any team, I don't care. I mean, maybe Tony, you know, Tony Dungy didn't care about this all that much, but pretty much, you know, Belichick probably wouldn't. But 95% of coaches do not want an 0-4, because if you have an 0-4, it's in the newspaper. I mean, that week before the first game, that's what everyone's talking about. So you don't want to rely on week four, because you're not playing any starters pretty much. So everyone's trying in week three more than usual in the preseason, but you get some an 0-2 team and they're trying even more. And to me, those kind of motivations, which aren't always built into the line, offers a good opportunity in the preseason.
Yeah, you've changed my opinion of that over the years that we've been doing this, because I would have never really been interested in playing any preseason games. But after the last couple of years and talking to you, I've started paying a lot more attention, and there is some value there. And you know, for me, my thing is Canadian football, which nobody bets, but I always do really well on Canadian football. But I'm kind of coming around with you on the whole preseason thing, because I think you've pointed out some really good angles, and that, you know, it's not like you're out there playing 5 or 6 games a week, but you can find 2 or 3 where there's some value. I mean, absolutely.
And Canadian football is, to me, very analogous to the WNBA. And think of poker as an example. Most people have a pretty good idea of what poker's like in Vegas. There's, let's say, no limit hold'em. There's a 1-2 game. There's a 2-5, 5-10, 10-20, et cetera. Okay. What's the quality of competition? Well, you go into Bobby's room, which is in the Bellagio. It's the high limit room for Bobby Baldwin, who actually won the World Series of Poker, I think, in 78. And he became the head of MGM Mirage. And when they built the Mirage, when they built the Bellagio, Steve Wynn at the time made it Bobby's room, and it still is. And you're going to see Doyle Brunson sitting there, Phil Ivey. Now, do you want to play against them? Well, I don't. Right? I want to play against, ideally, the people playing 1-2. But here's the catch, 22. If you're playing 1-2, you can only win so much. You play 2-5, you can win more. So the higher the stakes, the better the competition. Now, let's bring it around to sports betting. If you're betting 50 a game, and here's a fact that people are going to, I think some people would be surprised by, especially a guy like you, Fred, that's a bigger bettor relatively. The average, the median bet, so let's go back quickly to high school. Mean is the average. Median is half the numbers are bigger, half the numbers are smaller. So the median is going to be a little bit smaller in this case, because the guy's betting 10,000 aren't being counted and skewing the average so much. The median bet at a big sports book about, I think it's been about 10 years now, was $22. Half the bets were under $22. Half the bets were above $22. So that's the, you know, 50% mark in bets. So if you're betting 50 a game, well, you're far away. You're far above the median. If you're betting 100, 200, 300, even 500. There's no place that won't take 500s. If they're taking bets, they're taking 500 at a decent book. So why play against Doyle Brunson or Phil Ivey And that's what the NFL is, let's say, the highest limits. You can walk up with $1 million in a brick, a cash, and get down $1 million on an NFL side with no problem Sunday morning. You try to get $1 million down in a Canadian football game, you could it's a total impossibility. The most you're going to get down is if you're driving up and down the strip, you know, four or five, you know, limit bets. So in a weird way, and I get it, I'm betting the NFL too, but if you look at, and if you're trying to win, to wrap this up, because that's what's important to realize, sports betting is recreational for most people. As long as you bet amounts that are recreational, I think it's wonderful. Right? I have a lot of fun with it myself. I'll make bets sometimes I think are, you know, break even EV if I want a little action on a Friday night or whatever. But those are, for me, those are $50 bets, right? Where I'm betting significantly more when it's an investment type bet. So if you're trying to invest, trying to win, look over the course of a 12-month period. And this might be a great kind of demarcation point, you know, in July, right before the Hall of Fame game and all that, is write down every bet you make in an Excel sheet, have one of the columns say which sports it in, and at the end of the year, so 12 months from today, we'll meet right back here, if Fred's alive, stack rank, or look at how many bets you made in the NFL, how many bets did you make in baseball, how many bets, and ask yourself, are these super liquid markets, the markets that the Doyle Brunsons and Phil Ivies are playing in, what percentage, and what percentage are the markets that are $500 limits, but since you're betting 50 a game, who cares, right? Doesn't hinder you at all. And to me, if you're just betting for fun, you're probably just betting the NFL. You're trying to win, you better mix in some of these low liquidity markets, especially if you're not betting more than a nickel a game.
It's funny you mentioned that because I do track all this stuff. And besides Canadian football, my highest percentages are on college football that's not the Big 12, the SEC. It's like the MAC. Mm-hmm. It's like the AAC. It's like Conference USA. Where you know, it's the same kind of thing where you're going into games that aren't that frankly the big players most of the time aren't going to look at. So yeah, I can tell you. I mean, they'll look at them, but you know what I mean. I mean, we talked to Brad Powers about this before. It's you know, everybody, you know, the public is going to be on Michigan, Ohio State because that's the game of the week, but they're not necessarily going to be on Marshall Rice.
Yeah, and I think you know, to you guys are thinking, haha, he's been on 16 minutes. But I don't want to hear any cackling out of Zhang, that's for sure. But I'll say one last thing is if you're betting in big recreational markets, and really the NFL is in a class by itself, meaning that the amount of recreational money from a bunch of $50 bettors and, quite frankly, a bunch of $50,000 bettors in Vegas that own, let's say, seven 7-Elevens in New Jersey, right? Think about it. The guy, we've all met these guys, or most people have met these guys, or you at least have heard about them. You know, they're 40, you know, maybe 38 years old. They got two kids, they're married, but you kind of get a sense he's running around, and oh my God, is the money coming in because he's got seven dry cleaners or whatever. They fly out to Vegas, and it's maybe only a couple times a year, and they're betting $5,000 a hand at blackjack because this guy wants to feel something because he's living this, like, pedestrian life, but he's got all this money in Jersey. What's he doing with it except for the car and the Gumar perhaps on the side? And then he looks up and says, oh, look, Texas, Oklahoma is coming up in 10 minutes. He picks up his chair or he reaches down almost randomly, pulls chips, walks over to the sports book, and bets $25,000 on that game, literally making the decision as he walks over. That happens with a huge college football game, an NFL game. It does not happen, as you said, with a small conference New Mexico State game in college football.
All right. That is RJ Bell, the legend. And, yeah, we kept you for 18 minutes, so.
You're going to keep it longer?
Darn John.
I'll keep you as long as you want to stay, but you're the one that wanted to get out early, so we'll let you go.
No, not early. Listen, let's get something straight here as we enter football. So everybody, we should get a sounder on this, John.
Yeah.
Is that, and in fact, I'm making a formal request through my agent. Now it's me, but it's a, I'm going to have a different voice when I call you, right? RJ needs. All right, here's my request. At some point, we'll have a sounder that says, "A typical radio spot is 12 minutes. RJ is far past that and still going, all to help Houston win." Some variation of that. That when we do these 24-minute babies come football, that we know we're going to, that we that the audience understands the love.
Oh, I always like it when you go 20 plus minutes. It might like
well,
when
I bet you do.
Yeah, well it's great content, and two, we just love talking football with you. And I do have a couple of questions for you though. I'm looking at odds, and if I were to, and I'm a recreational bettor, and if I'm taking a look at the odds, and I think I have a above average intelligence on when it comes to NFL, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, well, if I were to put some money down on a team that I think has a chance to go pretty far, I'm scrolling, I'm like, why is Jacksonville so low? And a lot of places do, a lot of experts, quote unquote, experts have the Jags winning the AFC South and making it pretty far into the playoffs. So I feel like Jacksonville at 30-1 has some value. And I'm looking at Chargers 25-1 and the Falcons 22-1 have some great value. Why are they so low in terms of the Super Bowl odds?
Well, the Chargers, I said this on another show yesterday, is I've been hearing about the Chargers and how they're better than their record for three freaking years, meaning this is going to be the fourth.
Like I'm the Texans?
Well, no. You know, I mean, I think obviously last year with the Texans, it was a quarterback situation. But with the Chargers, it's like if you – Fezzik, we talked about him. One of the things he does every week up at pregame.com is he puts his power ratings 1 to 32 in the NFL – based on, you know, the stack ranking the teams, who's best. And for 3 years, he's had the Chargers, you know, pretty much 9th, 10th, 11th. Like, the team's like 3-7, and they're the 11th best team. And I get it. Stats, and this is what we talk about often, stats are more trustworthy than the scoreboard. Because a scoreboard can be, hey, one drop pass is plus or minus 7 points. If he catches it or doesn't. Okay. But if you have hundreds and hundreds of plays in a month of football, boy, if the stats say you're good, then you've got enough repetitions, you can trust it. There's less luck in the stats. But here's the paradox. We don't know exactly what makes a winning football team. Because if we did, we would all quit gambling. The computer, if there were the perfect algorithm to tell you who should win a football game, that algorithm would be spit out. We would say, okay, the Patriots have a 67% chance to win. We know there's some luck involved, so play the game, but forget about betting it because that line's going to be exactly, you know, the money line, 67% chance for the Patriots. We don't know. We probably know 85% of what makes a good football team, but there's factors that you can't yet quantify. And thus, when I see a team like the Chargers, like the Browns, and who's the third? Let's say those two are the two, like, man, they're better than their stats. That's all I've heard for years and years. Maybe there's something we're not seeing in those stats. So, in general, there's going to be a time in week 7, week 9, I'm going to say Team X. Right now, they're 3-5, but they're top 10 team. And here's why. Yards per play, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to give you the reasons. But I think maybe 1 out of 10 of those times we're just playing wrong because there's a stat there or at least a combination of stats we don't understand that makes this team not as good as we think. We just don't know what those numbers are yet. And to me, we've got 3 years with the Chargers now. The stats said this team is better than their record. At what point do we say, I don't necessarily trust these stats? So paint me a skeptic when it comes to the Chargers.
One last question from me. So the Dolphins came out and said that I think it was maybe a week ago. They said maybe a week or two ago. They said that whoever comes out and protests the national anthem, they'll get fined and suspended, or either or. I'm wondering though, like, forget the Dolphins, but teams that are kind of that have a shot to win the Super Bowl. How far something like that? How much does it knock them down or even up in terms of odds, if that even affects them at all?
So there's a whole camp of Vegas guys, and I'll put in quotes Vegas, that love to say, oh, this is all talk radio fodder and none of this matters, right? Let's look at those stats again. The Chargers are good. Okay. And then there's the reality. These are all human beings. So in general, if there is a non-on-the-field story, I don't care what it is, domestic violence to owner has cancer to whatever it is that might be on the front page on Monday instead of the score of the game. Ask yourself this: how much of a distraction is it?
I think
because if it is,
one.
It doesn't. Oh, all right. If it is, doesn't matter if it's stupid or not from anyone's perspective. It's a distraction. Now, my guess is going to be, the league understands if they let each team make a decision or even each player, right? We get the Cowboys saying this is the way it's got to be and all that. All it's doing is setting up just controversy after controversy. My very strong bet is there's going to be a league-wide decision, some type of, a major suspension or whatever if you protest. And, oh, by the way, the league gets – and the rumor or what you're hearing is – maybe marijuana gets taken off the testing. You know, now, again, what's the narrative there? Oh, they're giving up their protests to get high, right? So maybe that's not going to be it. But I think there's going to be a quid pro quo that takes this off the table. Because right now, I think it's unequivocal it's affecting the ratings. And maybe it's only, what's it been, about 18% down over 2 years? I don't know what percentage of that is from the anthem, but I'd be very surprised if it wasn't at least 6, 7, 8 points. So if your ratings are even going down 6% over this controversy, that's billions of dollars over a 5-year period. So my gut feeling is this thing is settled before game one, and thus I think every team will be in the same situation, is my guess.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Great stuff as always, my friend. And it was Jong's fault that you got.
I'm sorry.
Oh, he's listen. Those guys that are mild mannered, that you look and you say, well, he's not Machiavellian. when they rise to positions of power, like Jong,
I have no power.
He's planning things that we don't even comprehend. I'm just here doing a half hour free radio every week. That's what I know.
All right, RJ, we'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, I got to tell you about Eros Medical Group, EROS. And guys, I've got to tell you, if you're having any kind of problems performing, they can help you. They use regenerative medicine. They use a technique that's brand new, and it's fantastic. I went through their program, and I was, you get over 50, you get a little overweight. Sometimes you're not going to perform as well as you'd like. And so I went through it, and all of a sudden, man, it made a huge difference. I feel better. Much getting a lot better with that, and if you're just having a little bit off, or maybe you're a lot off, they're gonna fix you, man. They've got all kinds of great programs, and the cool thing about it is the personalized service that you get there, because this isn't one of those places where you go in and you're a patient. I mean, they want to partner with you to do the best possible thing for your ED. They can also help with low T, hair loss, all those things, but they specialize in ED, and that regenerative medicine has been helping guys all over the state now. And Shane and Sean and Dr. Reich, they all know, they've either been through it or they know about it. They know how to fix it. And they're going to put you on a program that's going to work best for you. And like I said, they want to treat you as a partner, man. They have poker on Thursday nights in the room that they have there, the man cave, and all kinds of cool stuff. So give them a call. Just talk about it. Tell them, hey, man, I'm thinking I might need some help. They'll tell you whether you do or not. 713-263-3767. 713-263-3767. You can also find them online at erosmedicalgroup.com. How about this? If you go online or you call them, 30% off any treatment if you use promo code FRED. That's 30% off. You're going to get the free consultation anyway. So go and just talk to them. You'll find out. They're good dudes. They want to help you. Eros Medical. Awaken your inner Greek god.